Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two on a Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We preview and break down and give you some picks for every single game on a Sunday slate. That is our charge here on Football Fridays across the Spiz Grizz Network. And Joe, in week number 8, that has already begun. The Rams resurrect their season last night at home in Los Angeles. No team has a bye. Nobody is off this weekend. That means 14 games on Sunday. We will preview every single one by the time this show is done at 11 a.m. Eastern time. We'll continue to talk the World Series in game number 1 tonight in Los Angeles, and a great college football weekend and a great Friday night. In fact, Joe, out in Sin City, potentially the game that will dictate which Group of 5 team could stay in the running for one of those automatic berths to the college football playoff.
Huge games this week, college football week 9, Ben, but you mix in a little World Series action, some great NFL week 8 storylines, and we have got ourselves quite a Friday heading into this weekend to go over.
Yes, we certainly do. So let's start as we continue to break down every game on the NFL Sunday slate, all 14. Some changing game times for a couple of these contests. A really good one in Cincinnati. Impactful for both teams, both trying to trend in a positive direction. The Eagles are 2 games above 500, but don't feel great about where they stand. The Bengals have won 3 of their last 4 after a winless 0-3 start. Cincinnati just trying to get back to an even 500, then maybe more winning ways to stay in the hunt for a playoff berth in the AFC. The Bengals are a 2.5-point favorite. Total is 47.5. This game time, Joe, was swapped to the early window to accommodate what we hoped would have been 1-2. Caleb Williams and the Bears and Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. We'll talk about that game in just a moment. But with the focus on this one in Cincinnati, the Bengals laying less than a field goal at home. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, I don't feel great about Philadelphia offensively here, Ben, after Jalen Hurts. I think the Eagles had 78 net passing yards in that win over the Giants last week. We were at this point a week ago, and when we did our picks at the end, Ben, I had said the under in that Eagles game because I didn't know where the offense was coming from, certainly from the Giants, and I did not know where it was coming from the Eagles, who lost their best offensive lineman, the guy who protects their tackle, gone. They lost Dallas Goedert, and now, of course, we know the numbers with Jalen Hurts without Dallas Goedert. It's a different ball game. This doesn't look like a very prolific offense to me from Philadelphia. Cincinnati? That's a prolific offense. And Joe Burrow is having one of the better years he has been, simply because he's not putting the ball up for grabs. He's not putting the ball in harm's way. So that is great news for Cincinnati, given their weapons. Cincinnati can score. I'm not there yet with the Philadelphia defense. I have no problem laying less than a touchdown. Cincinnati at home in a must-win situation. I do not trust this Eagles offense to put up enough points in order to compete toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow.
Under in 4 of 6 games for the Birds this year. Cincy under in 2 straight and rather comfortably under both of their pregame totals. Now, you could argue, is Lou Anarumo figuring things out for this Bengals defense as they go deeper and deeper into the year, as his track record has been proven in Cincinnati? Or is it the competition? The Giants in the Browns last week in Cleveland after Deshaun Watson was injured, and you saw Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the second-year pro, and Jameis Winston. I think both are fair, but the Bengals are just playing better football. And Joe, to your point about Joe Burrow playing at an MVP caliber level, if the Bengals can get back to having a winning record and be a playoff team, nobody's really run away with MVP consideration. Keep an eye on Joe Burrow for sure. Jamar Chase has been huge this year. Same with T. Higgins. I'm laying the number with the Bengals as well. And on paper, I would love to say, oh, yeah, this game, each team's approaching 30. The Bengals win 34-28. I don't really believe so. I think the Bengals can score, to your point. Still wonder about Philadelphia. The Eagles not great in the secondary. Look to Joe Burrow's numbers on Sunday. So this game was moved up. It's a really intriguing interconference matchup. To move back, another game that wanted to be in that late afternoon window on Sunday. And everything was looking great. The Commanders 5-2, the Bears 4-2, winners of 3 in a row, fresh off the bye after a road trip to London. And then early in the opening half last week for Washington against Carolina in their 5th win of the season, Jaden Daniels injured. A rib injury that, of course, sidelined him for the remainder of that game. Marcus Mariota, great, by the way, for the Commanders. More than 200 yards and 2 touchdowns as they cruise past the Panthers. We have not seen Jaden Daniels at practice yet. There are some reports that they're trying to get him back for today, so at least he can have a full practice before a walkthrough before this game on Sunday outside the nation's capital. I don't really remain convinced. So it's Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, and his Chicago Bears, more than likely against Marcus Mariota, a former top 5 pick, but not necessarily the number 2 overall selection from 2024, Jaden Daniels. This line open, Joe, in favor of Washington. After Sunday, it was 1.5 in favor of Chicago, as Daniel's status was a little bit more murky throughout this week. It's now been 2.5, even up to that flat number of 3 in favor of the Bears. So it might not be 1 versus 2, but will Chicago win comfortably on the road, as this line might be indicating?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Bears are healthier coming off of the bye. We don't know what Daniels' status is going to be. But I will say this. I mean, they brought in Marcus Mariota. Yes, it was against the Panthers, but it didn't look like he had any sort of issues running their offense. Didn't look like they missed a beat at all there. So that's why you get yourself an experienced veteran backup in situations like this. So the bigger problem for me is the defensive injuries with Allen out on that defensive line of Washington. You know they're going to try to run the ball. Washington is not going to be able to run on this defense of Chicago. It's kind of hard not to look at Chicago. It's a game that I would wait until, of course, we understand what the status is with Daniels. But as of right now, if it's Mariota, I would have to look towards Chicago. And I can tell you this, if it is Mariota, you ain't getting it under a field goal. So you might as well, if you like Chicago, bet it now.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe. And again, I do not believe that Jaden Daniels is going to play in this game. It's still 1 versus 2. Mariota, the number 2 overall pick for the Titans back in 2015. Caleb Williams has been sensational as of late. Of course, Jaden Daniels, a historic start to his rookie season. Whether it's his injury, his uncertain timetable to return, or just Caleb playing so much better in this 3-game win streak for Chicago, he is now only backed by 50. $0.15 to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Of course, it was Caleb Williams as the preseason favorite to win this award. Four touchdown tosses, Joe, against Jacksonville two Sundays ago in London. The first time a rookie Bears quarterback has thrown for four touchdowns in a game in franchise history. Caleb Williams has nine touchdowns this year. He's got seven touchdowns to only one interception in the four Bears victory. His nine passing touchdowns already more through six games than their previous other two top 15 picks, Justin Fields and Mitchell Trubisky, in their rookie campaigns. Not saying it's a high bar to clear, but just saying that Caleb Williams has figured something out. And so too has DeAndre Swift. Keep an eye on his numbers for Sunday against this Commanders defense. Must-win spots on the Sunday slate. We're looking at you, Aaron Rodgers, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Wouldn't you know it? It's another week and the Jets must win an NFL football game to keep their season afloat. But this one, Joe, I will just say they should absolutely win. Even last week, as a slight favorite on the road in the Steel City, did not feel like a great advantage for the New York Jets, despite Russell Wilson making his first start in a Pittsburgh uniform. The Steelers are a winning franchise. It is what they do. 2 weeks ago in the monumental Monday night game against Buffalo, the Jets, even in their own home stadium, were a slight home underdog. So here they are, laying a touchdown on the road in Foxborough against a one-win Patriots team who is 1-6, has not covered in any of its six losses. Drake May has provided a spark, sure, but Jerod Mayo's calling out his team for not being tough enough. They're soft when it comes to defending the run. So this should be the one, right? This is the one the New York Jets win comfortably, right?
Of course, right? We can just play on repeat, Ben, the last 3 weeks that we've been talking about the Jets, and we always say the same thing. Well, the Jets should win, right? I mean, the Jets, right? No, the Jets should win, but we have absolutely zero confidence in actually laying a touchdown with the Jets. Why? Well, because they're averaging just 305 yards and 15 points a game in their last four, not to mention the defense has taken a step back since they fired their defensive-minded head coach just a few short weeks ago. So this is a mess. This is, yes, a game that they should win, Ben. They won this game back in week three, 24-3.
Right.
They put up 400 yards of offense. They held New England to just 139 yards of offense. You got a rookie quarterback there in Drake May now under center. All signs point to the Jets winning this game rather easily, but it's the Jets, people. In no way, shape, or form am I laying a touchdown with the New York Jets in this game.
They actively find ways to lose football games. It is what this Jets organization has done consistently. It's why they are riding a 13-year playoff drought. It is what Aaron Rodgers and the Jets have done throughout this season. Joe, I was really going to be interested in how many more times the New York Jets were booked as an underdog this year after the season opener. Of course, a slight underdog in San Francisco. They've been a favorite just 13 times since the start of 2021, when former now head coach Robert Saleh and Packers advisor became the head man of this New York Jets franchise. They've been booked as a favorite four times this year. They won and covered in their first two against the Titans, against these Patriots on a short week Thursday night football game. In their last two, including as more than a touchdown home favorite against Denver, they have lost outright. It has not ever been smooth sailing for New York. Perhaps this week is slightly different. And listen, the Patriots pulled off an upset nobody saw coming in week number one against the Bengals, winning outright as a 7.5-point underdog. They forced OT in the home opener week two against Seattle to earn a push as a 3-point closing dog against the Seahawks. From there, they have not covered now in five consecutive games. The Patriots are who we thought they would be one of, if not the worst team in the National Football League. And Joe, this, if you remember the pick six, is why I was so adamant about the New York Jets. Devontae Adams doesn't block. He's not responsible for keeping Aaron Rodgers upright. He has been sacked 11 times in these last three games, was sacked only five times in their first three games of the year. He doesn't kick field goals, which has been a huge issue for the New York Jets. And with all of the burden and responsibility on the defensive side of the football, because the offense has struggled, Devontae Adams isn't out there stopping the run or playing in the secondary. He can only make a positive impact to the overall offensive production. So go out there and score points. Don't get blanked in the second half by the Steelers, albeit Pittsburgh, the second best scoring defense in the National Football League. So here are the props for Sunday against the Patriots defense that, again, was called out for being soft by rookie head coach Gerard Mayo. The number that I care about more, Joe, not Aaron Rodgers, who has the second most pass attempts of all quarterbacks in the NFL, only behind Geno Smith. It's not even Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson so much. Todd Downing, feed Breece Hall the football. Just do it. Give him the football. Give him touches. Have him go over 109.5 scrimmage yards on Sunday.
You should have mentioned this also, just to keep in mind. Whether or not this moves the needle, I don't know, because nothing the Jets seem to do moves the needle here. But they will have Hassan Reddick reporting this week, and in all likely. Also, their starting cornerback, DJ Reed, also likely returning this week for the Jets. So defensively, I believe also their Michael Carter in the defensive backfield will also be there. So hopefully the Jets will get a little healthier on defense, making life very miserable for anybody on New England. Now, having said that, you're not winning if Hall does not go off. I'm sorry. If you haven't figured it out yet, you need to Breece Hall to have himself a game. You've got to get him going. You got to get him going on the ground. He's got great hands and is very catchable out of the backfield. He can gain you yards that way. The offense needs to center around Breece Hall. How many times do we have to say it? And until you do that, nothing matters. So if they're going to win and win big, it's going to be because Breece Hall is going to go over that number this week.
64 rushing yards or less in three of these four consecutive L's for New York. The Patriots, they're allowing 131 rushing yards per game, but 185 in their last three on average. Tank Bigsby put up more than 100 last week in London against this very Patriots defense. Again, called out for being soft by Gerard Mayo. A couple of divisional duels that we will further discuss on the other side, Joe, but let's start here in Houston. The Texans, a home favorite against the Indianapolis Colts, lay in 5.5. Houston has not been a great favorite with C.J. Stroud. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, no, he's not been a great favorite. And Stroud is coming off of what? His worst game of the season so far. So he usually lights up Indy and has a lot of success. I don't see why he won't be able to do that in this game either.
86 yards last week in Green Bay, and the Texans did take the Packers in Lambeau to the brink. Houston as a favorite with Stroud, 5-8-1 against the spread. That's really the only blemish. More around the NFL Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple of really big divisional games this weekend, and of course, one of the sad realities at any stage of an NFL season, but especially as we go deeper into the year, it's injuries starting to add up. We talked about San Francisco. Joe, if there's another spot that key offensive contributors are missing in a large way, it's in Tampa. The Bucs, of course, without Chris Godwin for the remainder of this year. He leads the NFL currently in the most receptions with 50 throughout this season. Mike Evans is going to be on the sideline for a few weeks as well. So here are the Bucs now at a 4-3 record, tied alongside Atlanta for the top spot in the NFC South. But a couple of weeks ago in a short week Thursday night game, the Falcons taking advantage of miscues from the Buccaneers late to win in overtime 36-30. They have that direct tiebreaker. Can the Bucs get the Dirty Birds back as a 2.5-point home favorite this week in Tampa?
Yeah, Ben, I was at this Tampa-Baltimore game Monday night in Tampa, and if I didn't see it with my own eyes, this defense of Tampa is horrific, especially in the secondary. And they lost both of their starting cornerbacks, too. Jameel Dean and Tyreek Smith are out. The backups were terrible. They made Lamar Jackson look like Joe Montana. It was absolutely out of control. Not to mention that when you lose Godwin Evans, whatever you think you saw in the first meeting between these two teams, that is not the same Bucs team that you are going to get in this game without Godwin and Evans. The minute Evans went down, you could see the shift in the Buccaneers' offense. When Godwin went down in that game, when it was already out of way, it was completely over the top. They can still run the ball a little bit, the Bucs, but you cannot overcome Godwin and Evans in a game where you're in all likelihood going to have to score a ton of points to keep up with Atlanta. Yeah. Why? Because your secondary is trash. If he threw for 509 Cousins the first time against you, I shudder to think what they're going to be able to throw against him in this one. Tampa's in rough shape right now.
45.5, the total, the highest receiving yards prop for this depleted Buccaneers core is the tight end Cade Otton at 45.5. Another divisional duel on Sunday in that afternoon window. The Chiefs, the only undefeated team left in the NFL, a perfect 6-0, a 9.5 point favorite against the Raiders. Of course, Antonio Pierce has circled this game often. He has said in his pet, who is that? Is that Aiden O'Connell or is that Derek Carr on the graphic? Just needed to
that's
see.
That's a good question.
Aiden O'Connell, who's not, of course, going O'Connell. To play in this game. Gardner Minshew is going to be the starting quarterback for Las Vegas. Antonio Pierce has made a lot about the Jordan rules, like the Pistons beating up the Bulls back in the day. That's what they're going to try to do to Mahomes. Good luck. The Raiders are a train wreck this year. And although the Chiefs haven't been overly impressive offensively, and Mahomes has 6 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, still somehow, someway, Joe, KC is a perfect 6-0, a favorite in all 6. They've covered in 5.
Yeah, but this is flat spot central here for the Kansas City Chiefs. And quite honestly, let's be realistic. You have a much better chance of winning anything with Gardner Minshew than you do with Aiden O'Connell, who ended up breaking his thumb, so he'll be out. I do think it's a slight upgrade to get Minshew back under center. That's not saying much, but this is not a great spot historically for Mahomes in Kansas City. They are just 1-10-1 against the number in their last 12 when they're a road favorite of more than 4, Ben, following a win. And that's exactly what Kansas City is in this particular spot. It's a super flat spot, not to mention you're coming off of the game against the 49ers, the rematch of the Super Bowl. No way do I trust Kansas City to win and cover in this game. This is the kind of game the Raiders will give them all they can handle.
Of course, it was Antonio Pierce leading Las Vegas to Arrowhead on Christmas Day and pulling off a huge upset. With interim head coach Antonio Pierce, the Raiders were 7-1-1 against the spread, winning 5 of those 9 games. With permanent head coach Antonio Pierce, they are just 2-5, both outright wins as a dog, only 1 cover in their 5 losses. We shall see. But again, not a great spot for Kansas City. Not sure how many points we get either, as the Chiefs defense is leading the way. 41.5 is that total. Plenty of football Friday remains. We'll hit them all with Mike Blewett, who joins us here on the other side of the break on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It It would not be a Football Friday without the one, the only, Mike Bluett, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He and Joe host NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day starting Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time up until 4:25 p.m. Eastern, that early window into the very start of the late afternoon as well. So, Mike Bluett, we appreciate the time. Always appreciate the insight on this Football Friday.
Good to be here with you. Excited to have Joe back in the saddle with me this week after a week off. But it is going to be obviously a week in which we have a lot of funky interconference matchups. You guys were already talking about the number of quarterbacks that'll be out. One quarterback obviously returning, which will be a big part of the news this week. But excited to get into it.
Yeah, let's go into the one, Blewett, in Seattle, the Seahawks. At 4-3, the only team with a winning record right now in the NFC West at the top. But all three other teams, the Niners, now the Rams, and the Cardinals, trail by just a game at 3-4. The Seahawks started 3-0, lost three straight, pull off the upset last week in Atlanta. The Buffalo Bills looking pretty good here as of late. A 5-2 football team and a 3-point road favorite in the Northwest. Mike Bluett, how do you break it down?
We talked about this a few weeks ago when the Bills were 3-0. We said this next month will really prove a lot as to who the Bills might be. Now, they've got through the next four games at 2-2, and Seattle, if they get through those five games going 3-2 and they end up at 6-2, that's a hell of a start to the season for the Bills. Now, it's obviously a lot of travel for them, but what I keep landing on is that the Seahawks have hit the game total over in 8 of the last 10 games. I think we have all watched Seattle struggle at times defensively. Geno and the Seattle passing offense first in the league. I'm still not comfortable with them being up there, even though they're taking a hit with DK Metcalf being out this week. Maybe they finally turn to the run more than they have been in previous weeks. These teams ranked 20th and 21st in the league in yards allowed, and the Bills have scored last in their four or five away games. The reason I bring that up is because even last week, you had an opportunity with the Titans down, 10-0, for you to get the Bills at a shorter number. I like this game a lot for the Bills to bet it live, but if you're going to bet it right now, I think you go with the over. I don't think these teams are going to be able to stop each other enough.
You got to hate the spot for Jacksonville here, picking up their second win across the pond last week. Now, they spent 2 weeks there, better part of 2.5 weeks there, really, and now they've got to come home and take on a Green Bay Packers team that, in all likelihood, Mike, should be able to name their score here. But we got to keep in mind, too, this is AFC-NFC. This game is not do or die for Green Bay in any way, shape, or form. So how do you approach it?
Totally. These first three games that we're talking about are these interconference matchups. The teams don't play very often, and you don't have a sense of how they'll play one another. In some ways, the win over the Patriots feels like a stay of execution, perhaps, for Doug Peterson and the Jags. But I think what I like about this game is Green Bay getting on top early. It's just the way that their offense has functioned, Joe. They've covered the first quarter spread in 10 of their last 11 away games. So even on the road, outside of Lambeau, they get out to early leads. And in the first half, Green Bay scores 14.9 points per game. It's one of the highest in the league. The Jags have the third worst scoring defense in the first half in the league. So give me Green Bay -2.5 in the first half and over 13.5 for their point total in the first half. We don't even have to account for the spread. I think Green Bay scores enough points early for you to be able to clear these bets.
The Packers have won three straight. They covered in their first two, booked as a favorite in all three of these consecutive wins. This line was 4.5 yesterday in favor of the Packers on the road in Duval. Feels like it should have been higher than that. Should be near a touchdown. Now it's only 3.5. feels a little bit fishy, but we shall see how it plays out on Sunday. If I were to tell you both that on Monday Night Football in the nightcap out in the desert, the Chargers allowed only 17 points and Justin Herbert threw for nearly 350 yards, you would have probably asked how much did the Chargers win by. But that's not Bolts football. They lost on the road 17-15 to Arizona as a slight road favorite. Total, though, of 44.5, the highest of the year for L.A., did stay under, which leads us, Blewett, to Sunday in SoFi. The Chargers more than a touchdown favorite against New Orleans. Spencer Rattler returns for his third consecutive start for the Saints. Total at 40.5. It is a large number in favor of Los Angeles. Do you believe the Chargers play a solid enough game to cover?
This is too many points for me. And to you talking about Monday Night Football, Ben, there's just bad red zone execution, really terrible red zone execution. A couple of 27-yard field goals, a couple of 38-yard field goals, five field goals in the game. They just couldn't punch it in. And I suspect the law of averages will have them doing better than that. But I don't like this as a spread simply because the total is 40. So we're going to get effectively what was the way the Thursday night game played out the last time for the Saints, which was like a 26-3 game for a lot of that second half, a low scoring blowout. That's what a 40.5 total and a 7.5 spread would have to amount to. And that's just not a profitable spot for me. I wouldn't lay the points here. I do think it's a low scoring game. The way the Chargers play, the way the Saints offense is functioning, the Chargers are the lowest scoring team in the second half of games in the entire league. It's averaging just 5.7 points a game. The Saints just 8.3 in the second half. I think you can take a bunch of unders here. I'm on the second half under 20.5. You can find it out there. I just think it's a bleed the clock kind of second half. If the Chargers have a lead, they'll give it to Dobbins and run out the clock. And I just don't think the Saints have enough firepower on the road for this one.
All right, so we got one game, Blewett, in which the tank is on, apparently, for the Tennessee Titans. Detroit sitting 5-1, Tennessee 1-5. And by the way, I don't think Tennessee has topped 300 yards of offense in any game yet this year. Now they got to take on Detroit. No D-Hop anymore. Well, no anything anymore for Tennessee. Is the tank on here?
I mean, was it any better when he was there? Joe, you and I watch it every Sunday. Levis is the most entertaining player in the league when he's in there, and we can't get him in there right now, and Hopkins is gone. So 11.5 is a ton of points, especially after a really good emotional couple of wins in a row. But I think this is what you have to start thinking about the Lions. We're not accustomed to thinking this. It's taking years for us to break this. They're one of the elite offenses in the NFL. So can they run it up to get 11.5? I really don't think this is going to be close. This is a ton of points being laid. There's a few double-digit spreads this week. This would be the one I'd be most comfortable to lay, but I think you could just isolate the Lions and get their point totals. I don't know if Tennessee's getting the stops, but what you have to be mindful of, if it's a blowout, how much do the Lions keep pushing? I know Campbell's not afraid to keep his foot on the gas, but
yeah,
for this one, I think you just take the Lions points over.
When you look at Detroit, they are a 5-1 football team. They have covered in all five victories with Dan Campbell in the biting kneecaps era for this Lions organization. Since the start of 2021, they are 42-18 against the spread now. That is a cover percentage of exactly 70%. They are the only team in the National Football League in the last 3.5 years about that has covered in more than 62% of their games, and they are at a 70% hit rate at this moment. Detroit is the best team in the NFC, in my estimation. The odds makers have booked them as the favorite to win the conference crown. Plenty more with quarterback changes coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It's Joe Ranieri. It's Mike Bluin, and it's myself, Ben Stevens. Mike, when we look at a couple of the games this week, we've got some quarterbacks stepping back up and in. First and foremost, it is the expected return of Tua Tagovailoa on Sunday for the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins now a 4.5-point favorite live on the FanDuel Sportsbook, hosting the Arizona Cardinals in South Florida. This, of course, would be Tua's first game since he was bounced in the third quarter of week number 2 with his third documented concussion in the last 2+ seasons for Miami against the Buffalo Bills. It is a good sign to see Tua Tagovailoa back on the football field. Some of us might question the decision. It was Tua, his family, and the medical staff alone for Miami that were the ones to make this call, and we do anticipate his return on Sunday. So, Blue, what can we expect out of Tua now back at the helm of this Dolphins offense?
I think most of us would expect there to be some level of rust there, but I have no other reason to think that the offense won't be better than it has been the last several weeks with him on the sidelines. You're right about it's not really up to us to decide what he does and doesn't do, and we can feel however we feel about it, but he's out there playing, so we're going to cover the games as is. They've really struggled to get the ball in the hands of their playmakers like Hill and Waddle. Tua has shown to be excellent at that in the past, while Arizona's pass rush has been a little bit better in the last few weeks. I think Tua having an opportunity to go up against a team like this that does not rush the passer well overall is as soft a landing as we could possibly see. So I expect them to give him a bunch of easy ones. I wouldn't be surprised if he's over his passing touchdown prop, just 1.5. And I think they're going to feed Tyreek Hill in the same way that we saw the Vikings come out of the gate last night with Justin Jefferson and hitting him early and often. I think you'll look for plays like that to get the ball in Tyreek's hands and try and spark this offense.
So we got a car crash, which has now sidelined Andy Dalton, who sprained his thumb in that car crash. Wow. Which means Bryce Young is getting back under center here for the Carolina Panthers. Does any of it mean anything? Maybe that little time on the bench blew it worth back in Carolina, as this is starting to creep up to double digits, by the way. Bo Nix laying double digits at home. Something you're running to the window with?
Yeah, I think this Andy Dalton's car crash isn't the only one that we're going to see this week. This whole game is a car crash, and we have to watch it every week because they can't get into the end zone. So the problem, Joe, is that what's Denver's offense been? Nice explosion against the Saints, but this is not Bo Nix driving the ball downfield every week. It's just not – that's not what it is, and laying 9.5 points is rough. I think you can take the Panthers unders. I think you can count on that. Mm. I have no expectation for Bryce to come out here and be, for this to be a rebirth. I just don't. It isn't all his fault. But what do we have to believe that the Panthers are consistently going to put the ball in the end zone? Andy Dalton got blown out too. Yes, he was better than Bryce and will be better than Bryce when he's back in. But they got blown out a few times, too, while he was in there. So I think laying the points is difficult for me here. But what has been money is these Panthers unders when Bryce is under center.
I did think at some point that Bryce Young would come back into the starting quarterback role for the Panthers this year. Did I think it would happen via injury entering week 8? Not necessarily, and I do not believe it is a good spot to instill that confidence that was clearly lost from the number 1 overall pick in 2023 to welcome him back to the NFL. You see the numbers there, it's dreadful. He has thrown for less than 200 passing yards in 11 of his last 12 starts for Carolina, including both of them this year. And who does he face on Sunday? Not a run-of-the-mill defense. The Broncos are the third best scoring in total defense in the NFL. They rank top 5 in passing defense, allowing less than 175 yards per game. They also get after the quarterback. They've got 28 sacks, the second most in the National Football League, only behind the Giants. Welcome back, Bryce. We wish you the best of luck. And oh, yeah, Carolina, 5-17-2 against the spread as an underdog in all 24 games since the start of last year. Familiar foes blew it on Sunday, AFC North divisional rivalry, as the Browns welcome in the hottest team in the NFL, the Ravens, riding a 5-game win streak, but a new quarterback and play caller for Cleveland. 9.5-point spread in favor of the road team in a divisional game. Normally, that would be pause alone. Not sure it necessarily is. Deshaun Watson out for the remainder of this year. Jameis Winston now named the new starting quarterback for the Browns. Ken Dorsey takes over offensive play calling duties from Kevin Stefanski. Will it make an even small amount of difference for Cleveland on Sunday?
I don't think so. I think the Ravens are really found their groove now. The Raiders game, you have to take advantage of the market when you have a fluky game like what happened with the Ravens and the Raiders. And I think for these last 4 or 5 weeks, the Ravens' lines have been suppressed because people were assuming them to be a different team coming into the new year. You know, they lost to the Chiefs by a toe out of the back of the end zone, and the Raiders game was fluky. They've been blowing people out since. The offense looked spectacular the other night against the Bucks. Like, Joe, you saw it in person, you said, and Lamar was fantastic. Just for everybody, there are still people out there that like to doubt Lamar and say, well, it's really more of a running thing. He was brilliant, passing football. There's no other way to say it. 5 touchdown passes. Placing balls over people's shoulders into the end zone. Lamar is absolutely firmly in the MVP race, and I expect them to get after it offensively again. But to your point, Ben, 8.5 is a lot. I think this is a really interesting live betting opportunity. If you get the Browns a score early, you jump all over the Ravens if it gets under a touchdown. It's what I did the other night.
Listen, Jameis Winston will be nothing if not fun at the very least on Sunday. Sunday Night Football with Mike Lewin next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday Night Football in Santa Clara. From a brand perspective, from an old school rivalry perspective, a great game. From both teams playing football this year, we'll see if it lives up to its billing. Mike Blewett here for a third consecutive segment on this Football Friday. Blew the 49ers, 4.5-point favorite on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, oh boy, do these two teams wage wars for conference championships back in the 80s and the 90s. Well, the Niners' last Super Bowl, 1994. The Cowboys' last Super Bowl, 1995. At least the Niners have been to the NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl since that last Lombardi in 94. The Cowboys have not. And this year blew it. Normally, we give the Dallas Cowboys the benefit of the doubt. Hey, they're going to win double-digit games. They'll contend for a divisional title. They'll probably make the postseason. The Cowboys are 3-3, winless at home, all 3 victories away from the star. The Niners are a game below 500 at 3-4. And the injury rows continue to stack up offensively for San Francisco. So how do you break down this football game on Sunday night?
So we talked about it last week with the Chiefs and the Niners. And there is a world in which, look, there's a lot of people that are continuously going to doubt Brock Purdy. I am not one of those people. However, when things are uncomfortable for him the way they were last week, we get that kind of result. Niners are all kinds of banged up. Everybody knows now Ayuk is gone for the year. But for a team like the Cowboys that is also banged up and not getting much pressure on the quarterback without Lawrence and Parsons in the lineup, I like Purdy to be able to be a lot more comfortable this week and get it done. I like his over on passing touchdowns over 1.5. I think that 4.5 is always a tricky number. I would definitely take the Niners live if the Cowboys get up early, but I think the Niners come away with this with a touchdown victory. I like the Niners a lot in this spot to bounce back bounce back at home and take care of the Cowboys.
Well, we just watched the Rams win last night, finally healthy. Does that mean looking ahead here, if Dallas loses, are we sticking a fork in the future market for them? And are we back in the 49ers to get it done?
Yeah, pretty interesting. The Niners, this is not unusual for the Niners to get off to a bad start. We've seen them make the Super Bowl after bad starts. And like with Jimmy G, close out the season 10-2 to get to the Super Bowl. So this is not the first time they've gotten off to a bad start. It is obviously different with McCaffrey still sidelined and now Ayuk out for the year. But what we've always liked about this team is their depth, their ability to be able to create with some reserve players like Jordan Mason, Isaac Garendo, and we'll see if Ricky Pearsall can step up in Ayuk's absence. But I do think the Niners still win their division. Ben mentioned earlier, they're not first place. And the Cowboys, yeah, I think you have to start having some hard conversations about the Cowboys. The Rams discussion about can Stafford be on the move or Kupp be on the move, that was kind of surprising to me. I don't think – that does not feel like a Sean McVay, Les Snead move to bail in the middle of the season like that.
And I don't think they will now. Two wins in the last 5 days for L.A. Two teams that also got off to pretty slow starts, one dreadful. It was an 0-3 beginning for the Bengals. Blew it. They won three of their last four. The Eagles are 4-2, but not feeling great about where they stand as a true Super Bowl or perhaps NFC Championship contender. To Cincy we go. Bengals a 2.5-point home favorite on Sunday afternoon. What do you like in this matchup?
I don't like anything about this matchup. This is like the ultimate, the books just laid it out as you would stamp it out any other game. 2.5, 47.5. We're not sure if it's going to be high scoring, low scoring. We're not sure who's going to win. So take your pick. These teams are playing horrible football games, by the way. For the Eagles are the worst team to watch maybe in the entire league. Shout out to the Titans. But the Eagles are right there behind them. And I really don't know what to do with this one. I am leaning to the Bengals because I think their offense is probably the strongest unit on the field of the four. But even the last 2 weeks against the Giants and the Browns, they haven't been that great. They scored a touchdown on the opening kickoff and got shut out the rest of that half. It was a pretty pathetic performance for them, even though the Browns defense does bring it, Ben.
Yeah, the Bengals have been better defensively, but again, you could argue competition being the G-men and the Browns. Mike Blewett, we will see you on Sunday. NFL football in-game live game day starts at 1 p.m. Eastern alongside Server Nair. Hour 3 of Football Friday for us is up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.